So, picture this. It is the spring of 2026.
Okay, setting the scene. I like it.
Yeah. And a 65-year-old Jan LeCun, you know, a guy who has spent basically 40 years of his life pioneering neural networks, he's sitting in this very calm, quiet U.S. economic broadcast studio.
Right, and the interviewer across from him is probably expecting, like, a total victory lap. You know, triumphant speech about superhuman AI arriving tomorrow.
Exactly. But instead, LeCun just he shakes his head and delivers what sounds like a complete death sentence. He calmly states that massive language models, like the whole architecture behind ChatGPT, will be mostly useless in about 5 years.
Wow. That's a massive statement.
It is. And it's a stark warning that actually forms the core of Chapter 12, which is called The Siren of ChatGPT, from the book Jan LeCun, Father of Artificial Intelligence. So today's deep dive is dedicated entirely to this chapter. We're exploring exactly why one of the literal godfathers of AI views these chatbots not as the final destination, but as a dangerous siren song, you know, luring the tech world onto the rocks.
It's such a striking scene to open with, especially since we're talking about a scientist who, at the time, was leading one of the most powerful AI research labs in the world.
Right.
So our mission today is to really unpack the underlying machinery of LeCun's technical critiques. We'll look at some real-world AI failures and analyze this decades-long philosophical debate he's been having. And for you listening right now, just take a second to consider how often you rely on chatbots for facts or summaries.
Or even writing code, yeah.
Exactly. Understanding the illusion of this fluency is absolutely crucial for navigating the future of tech. So you don't end up being fooled by a very eloquent but very blind machine.
Okay, let's unpack this because LeCun is making a massive claim here, saying the entire architecture of these systems is flawed. And according to the text, his critique comes down to this core mechanism called next token prediction. But what does that actually mean in practice?
Yeah, to understand the warning, we really have to look under the hood. When you type a prompt into a large language model, it genuinely feels like there's a mind on the other side thinking,
Oh,
right?
totally. It feels like it's reasoning its way to an answer.
Right, weighing facts and forming a conclusion. But the reality is completely different. It is simply gliding down a river of statistical probabilities. It looks at the words you just typed, and it picks the most mathematically likely next word or token based on its training data, and then it just repeats.
So it isn't reasoning at all. It's just like looking at a pattern and guessing the most plausible puzzle piece that comes next over and over.
Exactly. And LeCun points out a structural mathematical flaw in this specific design. I mean, let me break down the formula he uses because it's fascinating. Imagine every single time the AI picks a word, it carries a tiny, almost imperceptible chance of making an error. Let's call that error rate E.
Okay, so nobody's perfect, not even a massive AI. There's always a slight chance it picks the wrong token.
Precisely. So the probability of a single word being perfectly accurate is 1 minus E. But sentences aren't just one word. If the AI generates a sequence of N tokens, the chance of the entire sequence being factual is 1 minus E to the power of N.
Oh, wow, wait. Because it's an exponent, as n gets larger, meaning the machine talks more and generates longer responses, that probability of staying on the right path absolutely collapses.
It falls off a cliff. And
Wow.
here is the truly dangerous part of the mechanism. The AI feeds its own output back into itself to predict the very next word.
Oh no. So once it takes one wrong step.
Yep. Once it makes one tiny wrong step, it accepts that false step as an absolute undeniable fact. It then uses that lie as the foundation for the next prediction. It builds new lies on top of old lies, completely unaware that it's drifted away from reality.
That explains so much. It's why they say hallucinations aren't just a bug you can patch out.
Exactly. According to LeCun, hallucinating is an inevitable shadow of the next token prediction design. It's baked in.
It really makes me think of like an improv comedy actor, you know, someone who is forced to just keep talking and always play the yes and game. Eventually, they get so far away from reality that they totally contradict themselves. But because the rules of improv mean they can't stop, rewind, and correct themselves, they just confidently keep digging the hole deeper.
That is a perfect analogy,
Okay.
and it highlights this critical difference between AI and human cognition. What's fascinating here is if you look at the psychologist Daniel Kahneman, he popularized the theory of System 1 versus System 2 thinking.
Right, fast versus slow thinking.
Exactly. System 1 is instinctive, fast, reflexive, like pulling your hand off a hot stove. System 2 is slow, deliberate, and involves actual planning, like solving a tough math problem. current AI architectures are entirely trapped in System 1.
Because they just reflexively spit out words at a constant speed.
Right. They do not pause to think, and they can't adjust their computational effort based on how hard the question is.
Wait, really? So the AI spends the exact same amount of computing power answering what is 2 plus 2 as it does trying to explain, like, complex quantum mechanics?
Yes. It doesn't know when a problem requires deep System 2 planning. It just predicts the next token.
Which leads to some incredibly confident but completely fabricated answers. I mean, the text provides this hilarious anecdote. Someone actually asked Meta's Llama model to review Yann LeCun's new rap album.
Oh, I love this one.
Right. Now, obviously, Yann LeCun has never recorded a rap song in his life, but the AI didn't hesitate. It didn't say, I can't find this data. It confidently reviewed the beats, praised the rhymes, and even generated a full track list for this non-existent album.
Because the machine just followed the statistical association of the words album, release, and beats, it completely lacks any internal scale to weigh truth against fiction.
Yeah, and it's funny when it's a fake rap album for a 65-year-old scientist. It is decidedly less funny when we look at that 2023 case of the U.S. lawyer who submitted fake case files to a judge.
Oh, that was a disaster.
The lawyer used ChatGPT to research legal precedents, and the AI hallucinated perfect-sounding, perfectly formatted, but entirely fictitious court cases.
And it did that because the AI gave equal mathematical weight to this case actually exists, and this case logically looks like it should exist based on my language patterns.
Yeah.
It's a chilling real-world example of why relying on this for high-stakes truth is dangerous.
Absolutely. So if these machines are mathematically doomed to hallucinate when predicting text, it kind of forces us to ask, is text itself the problem? Like, is linguistic knowledge enough to actually understand reality?
LeCun argues heavily against that. He focuses on physical experience versus text, and he uses this brilliant analogy of the book smart doctor.
Okay, how does that one go?
So imagine someone who has perfectly memorized every single medical textbook ever written in human history. They know the anatomy, pharmacology procedures word for word, but they have never once touched a living patient.
Oh, man.
They've never felt a pulse, never held a scalpel, never seen how living tissue reacts to pressure. Would you let them operate on you?
Absolutely not. I mean, they might know the words, but they have no idea about the physical reality behind them.
And this is exactly how LeCun views large language models.
Mm-hmm.
They've memorized the textbooks of humanity, but they have zero contact with the living physical world. This actually touches on a foundational concept from the 1980s called Moravec's paradox, named after Hans Moravec.
Right, I've heard of this. What is the core of that paradox again?
Well, Moravec observed that the things we humans think are incredibly hard, like advanced calculus or playing grandmaster chess, are actually trivial for computers. But the things we think are incredibly easy, like a toddler picking up a fragile strawberry without crushing it, or just walking across a messy room, are staggeringly hard for machines.
Because language and formal logic are, what, very recent developments in human evolution. We've only been doing them for a few thousand years. But our physical intuition, our motor control, understanding gravity, that's millions of years of evolution.
Precisely. It's so deeply ingrained in us that it feels effortless. So we incorrectly assume it must be easy for a machine. Let me give you the staggering data comparison LeCun uses here. Today's largest AI models consume roughly 10 trillion tokens of text during training. That's about 20 trillion bytes of data.
Okay, that sounds like a lot.
But to put it in perspective, it would take a human being 500,000 years of nonstop reading, 24 hours a day, to consume that much text.
Wait, 500,000 years? That's insane.
Now, contrast that with a four-year-old child. A four-year-old has only been awake for about 16,000 hours in their entire life. But in that brief time, their eyes are transmitting 2 megabytes of sensory data per second straight into their brain.
Oh, wow.
Over 4 years, that child processes 50 times more information than all the text currently on the internet. And they aren't just passively reading. They're dropping cups, pushing toys, learning that a ball rolling behind a couch still exists.
That puts it in such sharp perspective. It's like trying to build artificial general intelligence using only text is like trying to master swimming by reading a textbook about fluid dynamics for 100,000 years, but never actually touching water.
Right. The moment you are thrown in the pool, you're going to drown. You don't know what water actually feels like.
Yeah. That lack of physical grounding is exactly why these models fail at basic common sense.
Yeah.
The text mentions that Gary Marcus and Ernest Davis ran a famous experiment with GPT-3 back in 2020.
Oh, yeah, the juice experiment.
Right. They gave the AI a very simple prompt. You mixed cranberry juice and grape juice. You drink it. What happens?
And you'd think it would just say you get a slightly sweeter juice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it didn't. The AI responded, "You are now dead."
You are now dead from mixing grape and cranberry juice.
Yes, because it associated words like drink, smell, and thirsty in its training data with, like, narrative contexts that often involve poison or fatal outcomes in fiction.
Wow. It completely lacked the real-world common sense that mixing two everyday juices is harmless. It just skipped the fundamental logic of reality entirely.
Which really makes me ask, if the brain's language center, Broca's area, is just a tiny part of human cognition, why did we decide to build giant AI models that only replicate that one small part?
Well, primarily because text is neatly digitized. You know,
yes.
It's highly structured and incredibly easy to scrape from the internet and feed into servers. But LeCun points out a massive blind spot here. People who lose their ability to speak due to brain injuries can still navigate the world.
Right. They can still use tools and solve problems.
Exactly. Intelligence is deeper than language. Language is just the exit window. It's a communication tool, not the engine of thought itself.
So if 10 trillion tokens of text can't teach an AI common sense, where do we find a machine that actually understands reality? Here's where it gets really interesting. LeCun says the answer lies in the quiet brilliance of a common house cat.
It's a very humbling comparison for the tech industry. A standard house cat has only about 800 million neurons. It runs on the energy equivalent of a dim light bulb. Yet that cat can judge the distance to a high shelf, calculate a jump, and anticipate where a mouse will run.
Meanwhile, we have these massive data centers using a whole city's worth of power to run models on 30 trillion tokens, and they cannot predict the physical trajectory of a falling cup.
Because the cat possesses something the data center does not. A world model.
A world model. Okay, define that for us.
It's the internal cognitive ability to simulate the future in your head before you take an action. Think about a 17-year-old learning to drive a car. They can usually do it in about 20 hours of practice. Why? Because they already have 17 years of physical world model data.
So they inherently know wet roads are slippery, or if a ball rolls into the street, a kid might be chasing it.
Exactly. Autonomous cars, on the other hand, still struggle after millions of miles because they lack this foundational world model. They don't know why the ball is rolling. They just see pixels of a round obstacle.
And this connects to the baby orangutan magic trick LeCun always talks about, right?
Yes. If a magician hides a berry in a cup in front of a baby orangutan, secretly removes it, and then shows the empty cup, the orangutan literally falls backward, laughing in shock. It has object permanence, a concept formalized by Jean Piaget. The primate knows the berry should still be there.
But if you show that exact same video to a generative AI, it doesn't react or register a contradiction.
Mm.
It has no expectations of reality to be violated.
Wait, I want to push back on this a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Because generative AI tries to predict every single pixel of a video, right? Like, we've seen videos of the exact ripples on a pond or leaves blowing in the wind. Doesn't that mean it understands physics?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, LeCun actually debated NVIDIA's Bill Daly on this. LeCun argues that generating pixels is not understanding physics. It's actually trying too hard to predict useless details instead of understanding the core mechanism.
So it's focusing on the texture, not the actual rules of reality.
Right.
If I ask you to mentally rotate a cube, you don't use words or discrete symbols. You use pure spatial representation. Predicting every pixel of a rustling leaf is a waste of compute. A true world model ignores the noise and predicts the causal structure. Generating a pretty picture of a branch isn't understanding gravity.
Which brings us to a huge philosophical divide. This disagreement over how machines should learn, whether through language and symbols or physical world models, isn't a new fight. It's the culmination of a 40-year philosophical war between LeCun and cognitive scientist Gary Marcus.
Yeah, it traces way back. It started heavily with a 2012 New Yorker article where Marcus criticized deep learning, then escalated with LeCun's 2015 Nature paper, which Marcus felt completely ignored AI's flaws.
And it all culminated in a huge public debate at NYU in 2018. It's basically the nature versus nurture debate applied to AI.
Precisely. Marcus, siding with Noam Chomsky, believes machines must be built with innate, pre-programmed cognitive rules, like hard-coding symbols, logic, and object permanence right into the machine.
But LeCun sides with Jean Piaget, which is a choice he apparently made as a kid reading in a Paris library. LeCun believes in Occam's razor. Give the machine minimal structure, and let it learn from a continuous space using vectors and calculus, rather than rigid, discrete symbols.
The great irony here, post-ChatGPT, is that both men ended up on the same side. They agree that LLMs are a dead end. Mark has even testified before Congress in 2023 about the dangers of these fluent lies.
Wait, but if Marcus was right all along that these models lack common sense and are dangerous, doesn't that mean LeCun's minimal structure approach kind of failed? Or at least it needs Marcus's rules to be safe.
It's important we stay impartial here, because both have valid points. Marcus correctly predicted the lack of common sense, but while they agree on the diagnosis that LLMs lack understanding, they disagree on the cure.
Okay, so Marcus wants to inject human-written rules to fix it.
Right. But LeCun thinks injecting human rules artificially limits the machine's ceiling. He argues that machines just need a better architecture to experience the physical world, not more human code. And LeCun really put his money where his mouth is.
He did. Because in late 2025 and early 2026, LeCun stepped down as Meta's chief scientist. He was frustrated that the company was pivoting so heavily toward commercial language models, so he left to start a new company in Paris and New York.
His new mission is JEPA, the Joint Embedding Predictive Architecture. It's a machine designed not to generate pixels or words, but to quietly predict the causal structures of the world. A machine that knows what a cat knows.
So what does this all mean for you? The next time you use a chatbot and marvel at its eloquence, remember the book Smart Doctor, fluency is not intelligence.
Exactly. And I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over. If true intelligence, as LeCun argues, requires a world model built from physical friction, gravity, and consequence, can an AI ever be truly intelligent without a physical body?
Oh, that's a wild thought.
Right. If a machine can't feel pain, hunger, or the physical stakes of failure, is it even possible for it to understand the reality we live in?
That is a fascinating question to end on. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.